has for us today out of Luke chapter 19, the Gospel of Luke in chapter number 19. I'm excited about what God has for us this week. And I know the folks back home are praying for us. I know that. I know the folks at Riverside Baptist Church, when I go out, have an opportunity to go out and preach like this, they pray for the meeting. So I'm very thankful to know folks are praying for us. The Gospel of Luke, chapter 19. Are you there? Would you mind to stand with me for the reading of the Word of God in honor of His Word? I know that we've already stood up a lot because of the song leader. I really believe that when we get to heaven, that song leaders should have to stand up for the first 100 years because of what they put us through anyway. Luke 19, look at verse number 1. And Jesus entered and passed through Jericho. And behold, there was a man named Zacchaeus, which was the chief among the publicans, and he was rich. And he sought to see Jesus, who he was, and could not for the press, because he was little of stature. And he ran before and climbed up into a sycamore tree to see him, for he was to pass that way. And when Jesus came to the place, he looked up and saw him and said unto him, Zacchaeus, make haste and come down, for today I must abide at thy house. And he made haste and came down and received him joyfully. And when they saw it, they all murmured, saying that he was going to be guest with a man that is a sinner. And Zacchaeus stood and said unto the Lord, Behold, Lord, the half of my goods I give to the poor. And if I have taken anything from any man by false accusation, I restore him fourfold. And Jesus said unto him, This day is salvation come to this house, for so much that he for so much as he also is a son of Abraham, for the Son of Man is come to seek and to save that which was lost. I titled the message this morning simply, That Place. That Place. Let's pray and we'll get started. Father, it is a great joy to be here today with these folks. We know that this is where you have us without a doubt. And Lord, that the message before us is what you have for us. And we know that we need your help, and we know that we need you to speak to the hearts of men, women, boys, and girls. Only you can do that. I just ask that you would guide us through this message, that you'd give us the power that we need, clarity of thought and speech, and Lord, that you would do what only you can do. We pray for those in here that do not know Jesus Christ as their personal Savior, that you would speak to them very clearly about that need, that even as the pastor has already said, that they might even get that settled today. And for us that are saved by your grace, Lord, that maybe we would just remember what you have done for us and rejoice in that. Help us to be strong in our faith. Now, Lord, we just ask that you do what we can't, and we'll trust you for that. We pray it all in Jesus Christ's mighty name. Amen and amen. Thank you so much for standing, and please be seated. Zacchaeus was not only a publican, but he was the chief of publicans. What's that all about? Well, they're talking about tax collectors. And so he was not only a tax collector, but he was one that other tax collectors reported and answered to. And because of that, he was rich and well-dressed and influential and well-known in the area. People knew him in that area. And apparently, he had heard about Jesus somewhere along the way. I mean, something made him want to climb up into that sycamore tree so that he could see this man, Jesus, when he came his way. And it could very well be that he heard of the miracles that Jesus had been doing along the way. Maybe he had heard of the lives being changed Now, because they met this man Jesus, something made him determined to see him. Something. Now think about this. I love this thought. Jesus already knew who he was and where he would be. Already knew that. In fact, Jesus was the one that grew the tree that Zacchaeus was sitting in that day. He already knew his name, and because when he got there, he cried out, "Zacchaeus, make haste, come down, for today I must abide at thy house." And Zacchaeus did just that. He came down. He made haste and received Jesus joyfully. He received him joyfully. But look back at verse number 5 again. It says, "And when Jesus came to the place. Now that was the place that Zacchaeus met Jesus and received him joyfully. That place. He received him at that place. You know, if you've ever truly been saved by the grace of God, you might not remember the exact day, though a lot of people do remember the exact day. I've tried and tried to remember. I know it was April 1984 when I got saved. Excuse me, I was a driller on a drilling rig in an oil field. Every day was Monday back then, and so I don't remember the exact date, but I know it was April 1984 that I got saved. But some people, a lot of people do remember that. And you may not remember the exact hour. Some people can tell you the exact hour that they got saved. I mean, right down, they looked at the clock. I've met a lot of people like that. I mean, they can tell you the date and the hour and all. And you may not remember the exact hour. But if you have ever received Him, if you've ever truly received Jesus Christ as your personal Savior, you remember the place. That place. You remember the place. And again, for me, it was beside my coffee table in an apartment in Longview, Texas. And I believe that if you took me to that apartment today, that I could show you the spot, even today, the spot right there where I got saved, where I got down and trusted Christ as my Savior. And in fact, I believe that if the apartments were torn down, that I could still get pretty close to that spot, that spot where I trusted Christ as my personal Savior, where I knelt down and cried out to God, and He saved my soul that day. I will never forget that place. And if you've been saved, if you have truly been saved by the grace of God, you too remember the place where you trusted Him. Because you don't meet God and forget. No. And so, I would like you to give me a little leeway this morning with the Scriptures. I mean, I want to use our imagination for the next few minutes without doing the Bible any harm, of course. Don't want to do that. And think about a few people that Zacchaeus may have run into after he met Jesus Christ as his personal Savior. So Zacchaeus gets saved at that place. He has Jesus in his home. The next day he is on his way rejoicing that he had met Jesus, and he's walking through the market, and there's a lady there in the market that stops him and goes, "Hey, wait, aren't you that tax collector? Zacchaeus, that's your name, right? Isn't that your name?" And he says, that's me. And she says, "Well, you look different. You know what? You look happy. You look happy." And he said, "Well, you know, I met someone that changed my life. Really an amazing story." And she says, whoa, wait, you too? I mean, this is amazing. I mean, the other day I went out to draw water from Jacob's well. And I usually went out during the heat of the day because, well, other women really didn't want to be around me. I mean, my life was a complete wreck and ruin. I had 5 husbands, and the man that I was living with at the time was not my husband. Anyway, as I went out there to draw water at the well, usually there wasn't anybody else around in the heat of the day like that, but that day there was this man there. And this man proceeded to tell me all that I had ever done. And I realized that he's the Messiah. And he met me at that place. And my life has been changed. And I am so very thankful that Jesus came to where I was. His name is Jesus. And they're rejoicing about that. And Zacchaeus is telling his story. And about that time, a man came walking up to them, singing and rejoicing, and sees them rejoicing. And he says, "Wow, it looks like the two of you are having a good day." And they reply, "Yes, yes, we are. We were just talking about a man that we met. His name is Jesus." And this man goes, "I know him. I know him." Let me tell you, I had some friends that were determined that I would meet this man. I'd been sick with the palsy for a long time. I really saw no hope in getting any help. I couldn't walk. I mean, I was really in bad shape. But my friends were so determined to get me to him that they took up the corners of my bed. They took the corners of my bed and they carried me to the place where he was. We got there and the house was already surrounded by people. I mean, people were listening to this man, Jesus, teach. I mean, there were so many people there, we couldn't even get close to the front door. And myself, I was ready to give up. This is crazy. Just take me back to my place. But my friends were determined for me to get to him. They wanted me to meet this man, Jesus. So you know what they did? They took me up on the roof of the house. On the roof. And then before I know it, they started tearing off the roof and making this hole in the roof of the house. And they were, I mean, no. And they let me down into the house where he was. And it was really something because Jesus saw the faith of my friends and I was looking. I didn't know what he was going to do, but he looked at me and he said, "Son, thy sins be forgiven thee." And then he said this, "Arise and take up thy bed and go thy way into thine house." And it was amazing because with a little effort, I stood up and I gathered up my bed and I walked out of that place. You know, I'll never forget that place where I met the man that made me whole again. It has been an amazing thing. And so the three of them are standing there and they're rejoicing with one another and talking about what Jesus had done in their life. And another woman was passing by. And she says to them, "Well, boy, what's going on? It looks like y'all have had some good news." And they said, "Have we ever? I mean, Zacchaeus here, he passing by and we got to talking and then this other one was talking and it's really amazing. I mean, we were just telling each other about this man that we have met at different times, at different places. And his name is Jesus. And I'm telling you, he has changed your lives," what this person said. Well, yeah, and they looked at her and a big smile across her face, and she went on speaking. And she said, "I too have met this man, Jesus. Let me tell you about it. I had some very serious health problems for 12 years, an issue of blood. I've been to every doctor, I'd spent everything I had. I was at my wit's end. I didn't know what to do. I didn't see where there was any hope whatsoever for my life to ever be different. And then I heard about Jesus and people telling me stories of some of the things that he had done for others. And then I learned he was coming to town. He was going to be in town. And so I thought, man, my last hope, I need to do something. So I made my way downtown and I found a place just to sit down and rest. I've been so weak for so long. And pretty soon I heard some rustling, and I saw a crowd down the street making their way up the street, and I knew it was him. But he was surrounded by so many people everywhere. And still I thought, if I can only get to where he is, if I could only touch the hem of his garment, I mean, surely he can help me. So not knowing what else to do, I just started crawling through the crowd. I mean, I just started crawling down my hands and knees, crawling through, trying to get over there. And yes, it was humiliating to some fashion. Yes, it was uncomfortable. And it's not really what I had in my mind, what I wanted to do. But I knew I had to get to him. And so I made my way through, and I reached out, and I touched his robe. And when I did, he stopped. I mean, I just touched him, and he stopped. And I was petrified. I was petrified that he'd be angry. And he simply said, when he stopped, "Who touched me?" And all those guys that were around him, they said, "Master, you got to be kidding. I mean, there's people everywhere. I mean, everyone's touching you as you go through this big crowd. What do you mean? Who touched you?" But he said, no, you don't understand. Someone touched me. And virtue has left my body. When he said that, I let him know. I called out and I said, It was me. I mean, not knowing what he would do, not knowing what he would say. However, he simply looked at me with such eyes of compassion, like I'd never experienced before, and said this. He said, "Daughter, thy faith has made thee whole. Go in peace." And what a change it's made in my life. I mean, since I met this man, Jesus, and I guarantee you, I'll never forget that place where I met him. It's been life-changing. So this group, I mean, they're all rejoicing now, and they take off walking down the street, continuing to rejoice and bringing up different parts of their story, the changes that had been made in their life since they had met this man, Jesus. And as they passed by the temple, a man came out and he was rejoicing at the top of his lungs. And they looked at him and said, "Well, you must have had a good time in the temple today." And he said, "Well, let me tell you a story. I can tell you how good this day has been. For 38 years, I laid down at one of the five porches at the Pool of Bethesda, just waiting for an opportunity to get into the water and be healed of the terrible disease that plagued me for so long. But I never could get anyone to help me for all those years to get into the water when the time was right. Nobody seemed to care. Until this man came by the other day. He just walked past other people and over other people and came right up to me, and it seemed like his eyes were set right on me. And he made his way over to where I was. And then he looked at me and he said, "Wilt thou be made whole?" I was confused. I just told him right away, I have no man to help me get in the water. I mean, how am I supposed to be healed if I have no one to help me to get in the water? And then he said, "Rise, take up thy bed and walk." Mercy, I can't even begin to explain how immediately I felt whole. And I got up from that place that I had laid for so very long and took off. You know, I'd lived in that filth for years. It really felt like there was no hope of getting out whatsoever. But then I met Jesus at that place. Yes, yes, absolutely. I just thoroughly enjoyed myself in the temple. You know why? Because Jesus met me there. And He encouraged me to sin no more, to live my life for Him. Hallelujah. I will never forget that place where He came to me and healed me. So as they continued to rejoice and share their stories with one another, there was this man that came walking by slowly. He was clean, but his arms and his legs and face were covered with scars. He was smiling, but he was quiet. Didn't have a lot to say. Because they were all so happy and rejoicing, they cried out to him and said, "Hey, mister, are you okay? Everything okay? You all right? You all right? He stopped and looked up and he said, "You know, really, I'm better than okay. In fact, I'm the best that I've been in years. You see, years ago, I began to change. And not for the better, for sure, for the worse. And my life just got worse and worse and worse until actually my family took me out to the Gadarenes where the tombs are. You know, that nasty place out there. And they tried to bind me up with chains. Well, that didn't work. But they left me out there to myself. It was really crazy. I mean, I can hardly believe it, but for the longest time I'd run through the tombs naked, and I'm ashamed to say I'd cut myself with stones. I mean, hence all the scars that you see on my body now. And if anyone tried to console me or control me or help me along the way, it wasn't going to happen. I treated everyone that tried to get close to me just terrible, scaring them away. Really, I had no real control over my life. It just seemed like things just got worse and worse. It seemed like I was controlled by the demons in my head. And I was sitting there one day and I looked out toward the water and I saw a boat pulling up to the shore. But my first thought was, who is this? Who do they think they are? I'll tell you one thing, it won't take me long to get rid of these people. But then I saw this man getting off the boat. And it was like that I knew I needed to meet him. So I ran to him. And I just fell down at his feet. Well, to make a long story short, he asked me some questions. And then he commanded the demons to leave me. And they did. No, really, quite the story. I mean, he commanded them and they entered into a herd of pigs that was nearby. I mean, isn't that fitting? You know, because then those pigs, they ran down this steep hill that was there into the sea and drowned themselves. You know what that taught me? It taught me that even pigs can't stand to have demons around them. But then I sat there with this man. I put on some clothes and I was in my right mind. By the way, his name is, and they all shouted, "Jesus!" Why, yeah. I suppose y'all must know him too. You know, after he did that for me, I wanted to go with him. In fact, that's what I told him when I wanted to go get on the boat with him and go wherever he was going. But he told me to go home and tell my friends and my family and everybody about the great things that he had done for me. And you know what? That's exactly what I've been doing. I mean, I just can't help but talk about Jesus wherever I go and the things that he has done in my life and the way he's changed me completely and the way he pulled me out of a mire that I never thought I'd get out of. It's still really hard for me to believe the change that he's made in my life. And I guarantee you one thing, I will never forget that place where I met him. You know, Jesus is still in the life-changing business today. We talk about these people that Jesus had made such a difference in their lives. Zacchaeus, the woman at the well, the crippled man that lay for all those years, the woman with the issue of blood, the man that laid at the pool of Bethesda with no hope of ever getting better, and then the maniac of Gadara as he was out there and his life was a wreck and a ruin. And he changed their lives completely when they met him. And he's still in the life-changing business, because he paid the price with his own blood on the cross of Calvary over 2,000 years ago so that you and I could have forgiveness of our sins and be given a chance at a new life. I'll never forget that place where I met him, because it was a life-changing place. My life's never been the same now for 38 years. And he wants everyone to have that chance at a new life, a life that no one or nothing else can offer us. No one else can do it. I was a heavy drug addict. I'm telling you, I tried to turn over new leaves. I tried to quit doing all those things so many different times without any hope until I met him at that place. At that place. But you must put your faith and trust in him. There has to come that time that we truly turn our heart to God, wanting what he has to offer. The Bible calls it repentance, wanting what he has to offer. And when we come to that place where we will turn to him and we will trust what he did for us on the cross all those years ago, he will save our soul. And it's not just a religious move. It brings us into a relationship with God that is absolutely life-changing. There's a lot of religion around, isn't there? I'm glad I'm not stuck in it. I'm glad that I know for sure that there was a place that I met the Lord Jesus Christ. And from that day to this day, my life's not been the same. Oh, I've not been perfect. If my wife could stand up and testify if I'd let her, but I'm not going to let her. I know I'm not perfect, but my life's never been the same, because I met Jesus in that place. So I guess my question this morning to you is, do you remember that place? Because there has to come that time that we truly put our faith and trust in Jesus Christ. No one can make you do it. It's not just saying a prayer. It's not being baptized. It's not going through catechism. None of those things. It's when we decide that we want what God has to offer through the Lord Jesus Christ, and we put our faith and trust in Him because of what He did for us all those years ago. And if you don't remember that place, don't you think today would be a good day to make that memory and to start your life anew? Because if He can change these people's lives and He can change an old drug addict's life like me, He can change anybody. And He wants to. He really wants to. But we have to decide. We have to decide that we want what He has to offer. And put our faith and trust in Him. Would you bow your heads with me? Let's bow our heads for just a moment. Our heads are bowed, our eyes are closed. No one's looking around in respect of the Lord for just a moment. It could be you, that you would say, "Preacher, I'm telling you, I don't have a place. I don't have a place like that. I couldn't tell you." And maybe you just flat out say, "Preacher, I'm not saved. I've never trusted Christ as my Savior." But maybe you don't have a place. Would you let me pray for you this morning? Would you just let me say a prayer for you this morning? Not to save you, I can't, but you're here this morning. You don't have that place. Would you just let me pray for you? Our heads are bowed. Would you just slip your hand up wherever you're at and just let me pray for you right there? God bless your honesty, sir. Back there, God bless you very much. You can put your hands down right here. God bless you, man. You can put your hand down right there, right there. God bless you. God bless your honesty over here. Thank you so very much for that. You may put your hand down. Anybody else, I just want to pray for you that you would come to that place of knowing Jesus Christ as your personal Savior. Anyone else before we move on? Yep, preacher, that's me. When you pray for these others, back there, I see your hand, man. God bless you. God bless your honesty. Right there, you. Yes, ma'am. Thank you so much for that. Thank you. Thank you. For us that are saved, we may just need to take some time to thank the Lord that we do have that place that we can go back to and revisit on a regular basis where we know we trusted Him. But I'm going to pray for you here just momentarily, and then we're going to have a time of invitation. And if you would like to trust Jesus Christ as your personal Savior, I know the pastor will be glad to meet you down here to help you, good folks of the church, to help you to get that all settled. Today could be a day of salvation if you choose, but it's your choice. We're not going to try to make you. Only you can make that choice. I'm going to pray for you, and boy, I'd sure love to see you. I'd sure love to see you come get that all settled. Dear Heavenly Father, thank you for the examples we have in your Bible that show us what a mighty God you are, and show us the life-changing effect of meeting Jesus Christ. And I pray for those that slipped up their hands. I pray for them. I lift them up to you, and I pray that you would convince them that today is the day of salvation, that they would come and they would get that settled, that you would convict them, Lord, and they would take this opportunity that they have to trust the Lord Jesus Christ as their personal Savior. They can have it all settled before they ever leave this place today. And I pray that they would. Lord, we can't make them. We wouldn't try. Lord, they're going to have to take that first step. I pray that you give them the wherewithal to do so. And for us that are saved, Lord, we want to thank you for being such a great God, making a difference in our lives, and help us to never, ever, ever, ever take for granted that place where we've met you as our personal Savior. Bless this time of invitation. Help people to come. I know that if they'll take that first step, you'll help them. Lord, help people to come this morning and trust Christ before it's too late. We pray that you will. And we're asking all of these things in the precious name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Let's stand to our feet, our heads bowed, our eyes closed.